Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Yu Darvish made his first start at Wrigley in a Cubs uniform, and the Braves made sure it was a rough one. A balk, a wild pitch, three-run home run, and a disastrous four-run fifth. Cubs shut out by the Bravos. Is it now finally time to panic? Plus, Clint Hurdle had thoughts on Javi Baez. Baez had thoughts on Hurdle. Now Joe Maddon weighs in. And the Bears need help at wide receiver. They just lost Cameron Meredith to the Saints. How about that, Cowboy? Did Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy sign Dez Bryant become another weapon for Mitchell Trubisky? And welcome in. Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you're ready for a good weekend. Weather may not cooperate. I'm David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Chicago Tribune, the one and only Mark Gonzalez. From ESPN, he is getting ready to head on the road to cover, I think you're going to the Bucks, Boston, but I have a feeling Tibbs may be reeling you in at some point. He's Nick Friedel, and he is Seth Gruen. All right, let's start with baseball this afternoon on the north side of our city. Weather conditions weren't great, but Yu Darvish scuffled through the first four innings and then really, really struggled. And the Atlanta Braves able to plate four runs in the fifth. And it was not a good day for Yu Darvish in the end, Seth Gruen.
No, I mean, not at all. And obviously the big miss on the three-run homer. But, you know, I know it's still early, but with a guy like this, don't you have to worry? He's got an injury history. You wonder what's going on with that arm. It's the most misunderstood commodity in sports. No one ever knows what's going on with a pitcher. And it just makes you wonder.
Are you at all concerned? You were there Sunday in Milwaukee. He was very, very good. He was not good against the Marlins. Any concerns here?
They're not getting length out of him. It's five and dive, or not even that at times, like tonight.
And he's throwing 100 pitches.
That's another concern, too, because, you know, he is a strikeout pitcher, so you think his pitch count's going to get up there, but at least get to the sixth inning and get to the seventh inning and preserve that bullpen, because now they had to dig deep today, and who knows about tomorrow the next day, but when he's pitching, you got to think in the back of your mind, all right, how many guys are we going to need to get this thing done?
Shout out to anybody who sat there all day, because I just got back from Wrigley. It was cold, and that game was so boring, guys. I was sitting there going, ugh. But am I concerned about Darvish? Not yet. I think there's way too much time left to get him into a rhythm, to get the weather warm, get everybody feeling good about where he's at. It's the back end of that contract when I watch games like today where I start going, that could get really, really dicey, but that's a long way in the future, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think he will find himself here in the next few starts.
Let me ask you a question. He had only had 9 swings and misses today in 102 pitches, I believe. Is that a bigger concern than his lack of fastball command?
That's a great point, because they got him because they needed somebody who could provide power in that rotation. They have a lot of guys to put the ball in play against, and this is a guy that they needed that big strikeout guy.
They haven't gotten it.
To me, the fastball location is a much bigger concern. You got to throw strikes to go long into a game. And look, as far as the contract's concerned, I think any contract's worth it if you win a World Series with a player on the roster. So in essence, I think the Jason Hayward contract was worth it. But when you look at the way in which he's struggling and the fact that, as Gonzo said, he can't go deep into games, that is a domino effect, especially early in the season. It's like you said, you burn out the bullpen. You put a lot of pressure on guys lower in the rotation, and that's how things snowball and get out of control. And when it really bites you is late in the year when those guys are tired.
But he also might say to you, Yu Darvish, Gonzo, they got me 0 runs of support today. That's 2 days in a row combined, 1 run.
Shouldn't worry about the offense. Take care of your own business. It's just like a defensive coordinator wondering about the offense. No, if your defense does the job, gives the offense good field position, you got a good chance to score. In his case, he's got to put the tourniquet on the opponent.
All right, speaking of taking care of your own business and just worrying about what you do, Joe Maddon responded today to a manager on the other dugout in Pittsburgh who didn't want to just worry about his own team. Here's Joe Maddon talking about Clint Hurdle today.
You hear commentary, critical commentary. It's really pretty much self-evaluation. It's about what you believe. It's about your judgmental component. It reveals you. more than it reveals the person you're talking about. I've always believed that. So whenever you want to be hypercritical of somebody, just understand you're pretty much revealing yourself and what your beliefs are more than you are being critical or evaluating somebody because you have not spent 1 second in that person's skin. I just know it's going to motivate Javi. That's all. I really believe that. I mean, Javi's motivated anyway, but it'll be eager, curious to watch him perform in Pittsburgh from now on.
So here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Cubs fans, what is your biggest concern right now? Darvish, the struggling offense, or what Clint Hurdle said? What do you guys think about what Joe? I love Joe's response. I thought Javi handled himself with a lot of class after the game yesterday. I just don't understand why Clint Hurdle has to opine on this.
It was all too predictable for me. As soon as Hurdle said what he said, I went, well, I know what's coming next. And then you knew Joe Maddon would have to chime in. No, I don't think what Hurdle said is that big of a deal, but just shut up. Just leave what is going on in your clubhouse and leave everybody else alone. I mean, I don't think anybody's worried about it. I'm certainly worried about the Cubs offense and them getting rolling much more than some manager's comments about Javi Baez. But as soon as I saw what Hurdle said, I went, oh, here we go. And now it's on every show and everybody will talk about it. And I want to see if anybody gets dinged the next time those two teams square off.
You know, I'm not really into giving credit to anybody who wears a Cardinals uniform for a living, but when you would ask Tony La Russa
there you go.
About a Cubs pitcher, he'd say, you know what, ask the Cubs. And that's what Clint Hurdle should have done. You know, mind your own business. Talk about your team.
Yeah, at the most, if he had said, look, my guys aren't going to do that, but you talk to Joe and let him handle his business.
Well, I'm only curious because if that bothered Clint so much, why didn't he say something right after that game? Or before the home run, the second homer, I told guys in the press box that I think Javi's going down because everybody saw it. I saw it right away when he flipped the bat. I said, this isn't good. But Javi, to his credit, said, hey, somebody, and it came out to be Pedro Strop, pulled him aside and says, hey, that's not cool, run out. And Javi went as far to say, hey, I know there's kids watching me. I got to do a better job of that. So he owned up to it. I just thought if that bothered Clint so much, why didn't he say it right after the
game?
You
have a problem with bat flipping if you hit a dramatic homer.
I kind of subscribe to what Ozzie Guillen said. If you don't like it, get the guy out.
Yeah.
That's, I'm with
100%.
You.
100%. I think this is great for the game. I think Javi Baez is great for the game. I think he puts on a show. I think he does something he could do something spectacular when he's at the plate or on the base path or in the field. And I think Bryce Harper's addressed this. And I just don't buy into this antiquated view by some guys that there are unwritten rules you have to subscribe to. If those rules were really important, they would be written. Let Javi Baez play the way he wants to play. And as Gonzo said, you don't like it, get him out.
Seth's right in that Javi's good for the game, but Javi's only as good for the game and the Cubs so long as he's hitting above 200. Mm-hmm. And you can't, if you're Javi, fall into some kind of rut and stay in the rut that he seems to be in at the moment. He's got to start producing.
Well, if he's
more.
In a rut, he hit two homers Wednesday and two on Thursday. Or it should be two Tuesday, two Wednesday.
Well, okay, so the rut earlier before that. So now he's starting to come out of it a little bit. We'll see. But this has been the issue with him the last couple of years. You just want to see a little more consistency. And I don't care if he flips the bat or not. Just go out, play your game, and produce every day.
All right. If you'd like to watch White Sox baseball, you may have a little bit of a wait. They're in Minneapolis, and there's no more Metrodome. They play outside at Target Field. The game for tonight has already been postponed. Check out this forecast. 3 to 5 inches of snow expected tomorrow. Another inch on Sunday, and up to a foot total this weekend. Ooh. It is April 13, for crying out loud. What the? I mean, whoa. But it'll let their bullpen rest. Maybe they can take a movie in as a group. But
it's a lot of Sox math, Kev.
Holy smokes.
That's a lot of Sox math.
I mean.
Oh, man.
You've covered baseball for how many years?
Too many.
Okay. Have you ever remembered weather this bad this late in the season?
Nope. Nothing even close to this. Nothing.
It's brutal.
It's awful. Awful. But, it wasn't that warm in spring training either, Arizona, but at least we played. Here, I mean, with the forecast so far in advance, knowing that it's going to be ominous, I mean, this doesn't bode well. I mean, wait till we get into June and July and have those makeup games, those doubleheaders. You have guys coming up from the minors. I don't think it's going to be too pretty.
I would like to see Major League Baseball announce that you can travel instead of 25, you have a 30-man travel, and then you activate 25 each day. Something like that. Or, hey, man, we played more than 10 innings. We get to bring two new guys up and have 27 the next. There's no way that you can let your bullpens get crushed like this.
Right. And you know, on the other hand, there's going to be issues about service time and all that. But it goes to what you said. I mean, we look at the playoffs last year, how the bullpens were just used so much. I mean, they were fried at the end.
Yeah, fried out. All right, let's move on to football. The Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? Released Dez Bryant today, one of the great players in their history at the wide receiver position, and he is now back on the market. So I ask you, Nick Friedell, would you, if you're Ryan Pace, take a shot at signing this guy?
No.
Why?
Because I watched a lot of Cowboys games the last few years, and I don't think he's very good anymore. And if the Cowboys thought he was that good and worth that price tag, there's no way Jerry Jones would have said, hey, Dez, thanks for the memories. You're gone. I don't think that this guy can play at the level you need him to play for what you're probably going to have to pay him to do.
But that said, if they have a number in mind as to what he's worth, yeah, they should go for it. I'd love to see this guy in the Bears.
He'd be better than the other guys.
I still believe he has talent. Look, they're not in rebuild mode anymore. This should be a rebirth
for
the Bears.
Did you say you want to see him on the Bears?
Yeah, absolutely. Put weapons around Mitch Trubisky.
Well, is he a weapon? Look at his numbers right there on the screen. I mean, TDs, 13, 16, 3, 8, and 6. He doesn't have one 900-yard season after going over 1,200 three straight years. He is trending in the wrong direction, my friend. And I this morning thought, yeah, I'd take a shot here. And then I started doing some research. Supposedly he hit his mom. I mean, he's got some serious stuff.
The off-the-field stuff is definitely something to consider. I took this as a question regarding his talent on the field, and sometimes a change of scenery helps, and sometimes catching balls from a different quarterback helps.
Well, Randy Moss went from the Raiders to the Patriots and suddenly became a Pro Bowler again.
Would you be shocked if Dez Bryant ends up with New England or somebody like that? I would not.
And what does that say? What does that say? If you wouldn't be shocked about that, if you wouldn't be shocked to see Bill Belichick, who's the best ever, to go out and sign this guy, what does that say about this guy? It says there's something there.
That they're going to take a flyer. They can get him to buy in for less money to try and win a ring. I just don't see him doing that in Chicago. I think it's
Bill
like
Belichick
Brandon
doesn't
Marshall
take many
here.
Flyers. I mean, he likes sure things, and he doesn't put up with the nonsense. So, I mean, he's got the credibility for sure. I think more so than Matt Nagy, he can go up to a guy and say, look, you better get your act together. But to me, any player that goes to the Patriots, I wonder why the Bears didn't go after him.
Look, I think we all know how much help the Bears need, especially at the wide receiver position, but again, to me, when you watch his production, forget the stuff off the field, that's certainly a consideration, but you watch his production, he's just not what he once was. It's what happens a lot in the NBA. Fans and sometimes teams fall in love with a name brand of what a guy used to be. You are not paying for what he used to be. You're paying for what he is now. And what I think Dez Bryant is now is just not a very good high-level NFL player anymore.
All right. Can someone please explain to me what PEDs Mark Sanchez was taking to get a 4-game suspension? He never dressed for a game, I don't believe. What are you doing? This one shocked me.
It stunned me. I mean, guy held a clipboard the whole year. What do you need to do that?
Was he doing this stuff at USC? That's your story?
No.
that was my follow-up question.
Played in bowl games. Won a Rose Bowl.
Mark, where did you get all that? I don't know. I went to USC. Mark Gonzalez actually was my hookup back there. 10 months ago, the Bulls traded for Zach LaVine, and they're still not sure what they've traded for. Is he part of this team's long-term future? That, plus the Bulls' tank job, is already paying dividends. Take that, David Haw!
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live-streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
Thank you, Sarah Kustak, helping your homies out. Lottery ball went the right way for the Chicago Bulls, and they will pick 6 instead of 7. And then 22nd with the pick they get from the Pelicans for Nico Mirotić. Chicago Bulls will pick sixth unless they win the lottery. They're the slotted six in the draft lottery. They have a shot to be able to get this thing in the top three, a shot.
They do, but this is a good day, Cap, and this is why down the stretch especially, it was crucial for them to lose those last few games. I mean, it really, those were must-lose so games because they had to be in the position they're in.
Can you look in the camera and say, hey, David Hall, look, listening at your palatial estate in northern Indiana, that it was crucial you lose those games?
Look, I love David, but every time I'm on this show, he did not get into something. I was an NBA elitist a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's not just for David, though. There are a lot of fans that said, you got to try hard and you've got to build a culture. I never bought into that.
Look,
especially down the stretch. They had to lose these games to put themselves into the position they're in. And now, like you said, maybe they get some luck when the ping pong balls go up again. Maybe they don't. But now at the sixth spot, maybe Bridges from Villanova, who I know a lot of people love, will be there. Maybe he can be your guy.
Or maybe you get in the top three and you get Marvin Bagley.
There you go.
Look, I'm all for trying your best and all that stuff. And I really subscribe to that philosophy, unless you're the Chicago Bulls, because it's about winning NBA championships. And it's about finding that next superstar, because that's how you win NBA championships. Way you find that next superstar is drafting high in the draft. Most of them come in the top five. So the Bulls did a nice job by losing those games. That is what they had to do. And Pac said, I think, in that press conference that they're going to look for a wing. So, yeah, I mean, I think if your last name's Bridges, you fit the bill.
I think it was scripted well. I mean, we were waiting to see when they'd start officially tanking and sitting guys, and they strung it out about as well as they could, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, what do you do with Zach LaVine? Because I'm not convinced he is worthy of a five-year extension at serious money. I believe that's what he wants them to give him. And I've heard people say, well, you made the trade for Jimmy, you have to sign him. No, you don't compound one mistake by making another.
Couldn't agree with you more.
And I don't mean that the trade was a mistake. I mean that maybe he isn't the guy they thought they were getting.
Right. And I couldn't agree with you more on that. The key here for the Bulls is Lauri Markkanen has developed already a lot more than they thought he would be at this point. Cap, he is the star of that deal.
He's a stud.
And it was supposed to be LaVine, and it hasn't worked out. So to answer your question, if you're the Bulls, and Pac's called his shot a little bit yesterday in his comments, if you're the Bulls, you have a number in mind and a set of years. If LaVine can find big, big money somewhere else, you say, hey, Zach, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate you being here. Good luck to you.
And they would
get
nothing if someone.
They would get nothing, but it's okay now because they can spin. It opens up cap space, but they can spin. We've still got our guy in Markkanen. And we don't know if we're sold on Dunn yet, but Dunn and LaVine were not working real well together. And there's still a chance that they can find some chemistry this summer. But if it's me, having watched LaVine and having talked to enough people in Minnesota, if the money gets too big, you wave goodbye and you don't think twice about it.
You think that will happen?
Yeah, I do if the price got too high, if it was just too much. But here's the problem for LaVine and his reps. There aren't a lot of teams with cap space in the NBA right now to begin with. The Bulls are in that position. That's nice for them.
You have 16 teams flirting with luxury tax right now.
Right, and if you're a team that's close to luxury tax, but even if it's a team with a ton of cap space, you're looking at Zach LaVine, and you have to ask this question. Does this guy help me get to where I want to go if I have to pay him big, big money?
The answer is no.
And the answer is no, and that's the issue. So maybe if you're the Bulls, you say, why don't you come back for 1 year, see how you're doing on the second year off your ACL injury. Maybe that'll help get him over some kind of hump. But if it's me and I'm Garland Pax, there is no way I'm signing him for big money and major years right now.
Do you think the Bulls would actually be better off if they didn't bring back Zach LaVine?
I think you know what? As that question just hangs here, I wouldn't say they're better off because I don't think anybody can say for certain what kind of player they know he's going to be the second year off that ACL injury. But I wouldn't hesitate again if the money became too big of an issue.
See you later.
I would say see ya, quick.
And an early knee injury, too, in his career. I mean, I liked this guy out of college. I thought this guy's going to be deluxe. And the knee injury and then what you're saying I raise a yellow flag.
They're probably best off signing him to that one-year deal that you alluded to, because then at least they can do it. But you said we're talking about best-case scenario. That it probably is. You don't want to see him go and be a star elsewhere, because as Nick said, you don't know. But, you know, that one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal, gives you an opportunity to see. And then at the end of that, you should be able to draw your conclusion.
The biggest knock on LaVine was that he couldn't play defense. He didn't play defense really well, even when Tibbs appeared in Minnesota. He didn't play defense well this year. If you're trying to build a culture where you're getting guys who can score and play defense, you are not giving major money to a guy like Zach LaVine.
All right, Brandon Saad is watching the Stanley Cup playoffs from home. Meanwhile, one of the players Hawks traded to get him is scoring beautiful overtime winners in the playoffs.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world. Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, at the Blackhawks regular season finale last Saturday evening, both the Hawks and Jets observed a moment of silence for those who died in that awful Humboldt Broncos bus crash, which killed 16 people, including 10 players on that well-renowned junior team. Every player on the ice who jerseys with Broncos on the back. And today, Jonathan Toews flew to Humboldt and presented those jerseys to the team, along with representatives to the Jets. And just an awful, awful situation, but Jonathan Toews being a quality human, stepping up again, not a surprise.
No, I mean, and that's a really classy move. And look, he knows how integral those junior teams are to those communities. That is the equivalent to or greater than high school football in rural
Texas.
Yeah,
it is huge. Last night, Artemi Panarin, the ex-Blackhawks, scored the overtime game winner for Columbus in an upset of the Washington Capitals. Watch this goal. You want to talk about pretty. I mean, that's spectacular. Game winner. Got a tying goal late from the Blue Jackets, and then that won it in overtime. How come Brandon Saad can't do that stuff for us?
There's some playing hockey cap. This is a shocker for me. All right.
Yeah, hockey's still around. All right, you guys have a great weekend. Wow. Sound like Danny Zetterman. That's a wrap of Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. Baseball night in Chicago's next. Have a wonderful weekend. See you back here Monday. I got Cubs tomorrow with David DeJesus and Douglas Glanville. See ya. Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all of the latest sports news and highlights.